WMFO in Medford, 10:04 in the morning on Saturday. What Saturday is this? October 12th already. My God, I'm here with Tom Ruprecht. Hi, Tom.
Hey, hey.
And I'm here with Larry Newman, who spells his name the same as I do in the last name. And
hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman. That's very clever of you. I've never heard that before. So let's do this. Let's go back and we'll talk about the songs that you just played a little bit. And Larry, feel free to jump in because this was a terrific set.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to play a song and I'm not going to... I'm not going to front announce it because it doesn't need it, and then we'll come back and talk some more. We started off with that great set from Mr. Ruprecht with John Prine. I mentioned Wow, What a Way to Start. From The Great In Spite of Ourselves, CD, that's a great track in it in on its own. We're Not the Jet Set.
With Iris DeMint.
Mm. Yeah.
She's on a couple of tracks on that album. It's got a lot of great duets and then one solo tune from him, and I love the wordplay on it.
Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned before about Iris DeMint. I mean, just the most interesting voice ever, and it's just...
Very unique.
Very unique. It's, we love her, and we love John Prine, of course. Sam Bush, after that, with a wonderful cover. The record was called Ice Caps, Peaks of Telluride, from back in 2006, Sailing Shoes...
Yep, covering Little Feat, who's out on tour for their 50th anniversary. Pretty amazing. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. The Great Robin Hitchcock, 1990s I CD. That was Glass Hotel. I don't think I knew that.
It's not a well-known Robin Hitchcock tune, but I really like the atmosphere of it. And that's a really interesting recording. It's got like 18 tracks on it or something, and there's a lot of different stuff, some instrumentals and, you know, just him nailing it with the acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, he's wonderful, obviously. Emmy Lou Harris, speaking of wonderful, in 2000 she brought us Red Dirt Girl. That was a title track. We've seen her perform that so many times, and it's just such a great track for so many reasons.
Crushingly beautiful tune. I was tearing up here in the studio hearing it again.
Yeah, I mean, if you pay attention to the words, which I do sometimes only, but that's the mark of a great songwriter, to be able to sell a song like melodically and also just rip you apart with the lyrics.
So that's actually from my mom, who's no longer with us, but that's her CD.
All right. Emmy Lou Harris. And Edgar Froese or Froese?
Froese.
That wasn't one of your choices. 1979 brought us a record, a CD called Stuntman. That was a beautiful instrumental there, called Scarlet Score from Mescalero. Yeah, what he said. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So Edgar was one of the guys in Tangerine Dream and master of the keyboards. I got to see them on tour at the Orpheum. I think it was the only time I got to see them, but just an amazing group. I got turned on to them through the Risky Business soundtrack, if you know him from that. They've got a great catalog, a lot of varied stuff over the years. He's unfortunately no longer with us either, but I just picked that album up. It's got a really distinctive cover. There's a motorcyclist helmet with a reflection on it, and I had to have it. So
just from the cover.
Just from the cover.
Okay, that was a terrific set.
That's kind of like that, whipped cream cover of Herb Alpert. Everybody had to have that.
That's the kind of exactly. That's
I got
the kind
it
of
on
thing.
Cassette. I was just looking at it this morning when I was going through that stuff because that was actually one of my dads.
She's like 80 now, and she looks like she's like 50 or something. I mean, she looks amazing.
80 is the new 50,
right?
It kind of is. All right, so at 10:08, that's the dulcet tones of Larry Newman over there. We're going to come back and talk and play some stuff of his, and obviously he's got his guitar, but I want to share this with you. Like I said, I'm not going to front announce it, but just have a listen. We'll be back to discuss right after this at WMFO. WMFO, and that's repeating. We don't really know why, because it's YouTube, everybody. That's Gary Shane on the Detour, and there's Larry not pretending that he played on that song, because he did. That's what you did. That's one of the things you played with Gary Shane on the Detour.
Right.
What year was that?
Well, actually, I'm playing with him recently. I didn't play on that recording,
mm-hmm.
but we still drew that tune.
Yeah.
That was around, I think that was like, I'm guessing around early 80s.
I was going to say 1980 something.
Yeah. I mean, he was very, extremely popular, getting like more airplay than some national acts on, you know, stations like BCN.
Yeah,
around
here, a lot of play
for about a year or so. And just, you know, everything was independent. You know, I mean, he had some management, but other than that, and they played a lot, and they did really well. And then at one point, you know, unfortunately, Gary was diagnosed with MS. And, you know, he went to Athens, Greece, and got a treatment and did some recording there also. And at one point was actually walking again. And they said to him, you know, you'd have to come back and get more treatments that, and so now he's still playing, you know, he's in a chair, but I mean, still playing, and we have, you know, we have a great time going out and playing these songs.
That's great. That's great. So Larry, you grew up here in pretty much in Boston proper.
Yeah, right.
And well, okay,
well, I grew up in Brighton, and then when I was about 6 years old, my parents moved out to Needham. And I spent, like I was telling you, I spent most of my time in Boston. I would get on the T at a very young age and find my way into Boston. And eventually around probably 14, 15 years old, I started sneaking into the clubs because I was attracted to the music.
And you became a roadie, right? You started to...
Yeah.
So you've been stuck on this for a long time.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm thinking probably about close to 50 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't be. I don't believe it.
Yeah. So I did my first professional gig when I was 15. So.
And was it always the guitar, or was it a different guitar, bass? I know.
You know, on guitar, I had some instruction. On bass, I'm pretty much self-taught. And on guitar, I got to study around the time I was 14, 15 with... a guy that went on to be one of the great jazz guitar players of all time, a guy named Jamie Glazer, and he was going to Berkeley, and he was like in his second year at Berkeley when he was 17.
Oh, really?
So, you know, this guy was a genius.
Prodigy alert.
He and his parent, his father and his cousin and his brother had been making children's records, playing several instruments since he was like 12 years old or something, you know. We're still in touch, but he went on to play with Chick Corea's Electric Band, Manhattan Transfer, and then for the past maybe 30 years, Jean-Luc Ponty. He's been his guitar player he played on that Anderson Ponty tour recently with John Anderson on vocals from Yes and Jean-Luc Ponty and a couple other members of the band.
See, you know, since you've been with us here for about an hour, you've been telling us an awful lot about the people that you've had the pleasure of being around, and that must have been such a learning experience, just being able to be around and learn from these people.
Right.
So you mentioned that you were going into town on the T.
Yeah.
You sent me a list of some things, like back in the late 70s. When did the Infidels come around?
Okay, so the Infidels was my band, my first original band, where I was writing and whatever. And I was out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and... had, you know, been in the service and got a scholarship to University of Michigan. And then around my second year there, I started it. And by my third year, I ended up dropping out to join Nikki and the Corvettes. But the Infidels single was partially recorded at a radio station very much like this in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It was the college station. And then we finished it at Pearl Sound, and it became their first single that ever came out of there. And there's a YouTube video that somebody made for one side of that called Society's Casualty.
There's always a YouTube video.
Yeah. Well, somebody made it. They put it down on the platter, and they put the needle on, and they filmed it, and that was the YouTube video of it. You know,
yeah.
With some stills of us and some pictures that they had found of us also.
So that was Nicky and the Corvettes. That was the band after the Infidels,
right,
like in the
right.
late 70s.
Right. Well, actually, yeah, it ended up being late 70s. I was at a concert with our drummer, and it was a Clash concert in Detroit. It was the Clash, David Johansen, and the Undertones.
Uh-oh.
And great show.
Yeah.
And we were in the second row, and Nikki and Lori, one of the singers, and Peter, the guitar player, and Chris, one of the singers, were in the front row, and they turned around, and they had recognized us because we had played a show with the Infidels and them in Ann Arbor before that. So they're looking, and they said, we're looking for a bass player and drummer because we want to go out and tour these songs that I've written. And so I looked at them, and I said, well, here they are.
Yeah.
And next week, we started rehearsing at my house in Ann Arbor, and we must have played in the U.S. and Canada for like the next few months. We must have played at least 25 or 30 dates.
Wow.
Loved every second of it, too, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and yeah. It was great. And people absolutely ate it up. I mean, there were groups like that would come to Detroit, like Missing Persons, and they would open for us. I mean, we had an incredible following.
Destination Unknown.
One of the girls, Chris, was dating one of the guys in the Romantics, so we did a lot of gigs with the Romantics opening for them. We ended up getting on a Ramones tour, and John Felice and Billy Cole were the roadies on that tour, so it was really funny. And there were some nights where our drummer and I and me and John Felice would play the night before if we got into a club that didn't have a band, and we said, we'll play.
What a great life that sounds like.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah.
What a great life.
And if I hadn't, I eventually went back to school, but the thing is, if I hadn't dropped out in the beginning of my fourth year at Michigan, I would have never been able to do any of this, and I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Oh. I mean, yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to listen to, you know,
right.
Yeah, the beat of the internal, yeah. Yeah. So let me just go through the list that you were kind enough to give me, and you can stop me and tell me if you want to talk a little bit more about. We'll play on Nicky and the Corvettes too.
Play just what I need from Nicky and the Corvettes.
Okay, we'll do that as part of the set when we break.
Yeah.
Hoi Polloi, you mentioned.
Yeah.
I mentioned it sounded Hawaiian, but you said no, it's not.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. No. I mean, it comes from a Three Stooges episode where they tried to make the Stooges into gentlemen, and they had a bet whether they could make them into gentlemen or not, you know, and they were hanging out with the quote Hoi Polloi, which is like, you know, the rich people,
right.
Yeah, the people with the turned up nose, you know. But Mark Boone, when I was working with Nicky and the Corvettes, he always liked my playing, and they actually had just, it was like an organ trio. So they had like...
Is that a medical reference? Never mind, just ignore me.
No, it's a Mickey Bliss reference. Who used to have an organ trio around here. It's organ, guitar, and drums. No bass. Okay, so he had one of those little Ray Manzarek piano bass things, which didn't really cut it. And then I also had a voice, so I could sing background. So they decided to retire the little piano thing and hire me for the band. And again, you know, we ended up, Mark loved Nicky too. And so we ended up, sometimes we would do gigs, and this drove Nicky crazy. She did not want this happening. And so eventually, you know, it couldn't happen while I was still in the band. we ended up doing gigs where like Hoi Polloi would open and I'd end up playing both sets, which I thought that was fine, you know, more money in my pocket, play one more set. Yeah, no, she didn't like it. So I don't know if she didn't like it or Peter didn't like it. It was filtered through Nicky though. and I, you know, so at one point or another, there was something that happened with Nicky and the Corvettes, which I can get into or not, that involved a member of the band dying. Mm. And so then I ended up playing with Hoi Polloi after that.
And then you continued through the early 80s with a band called the Mustangs.
The Mustangs was, I had a girlfriend out in Ann Arbor, ex-girlfriend now. Obviously, I'm married to a wonderful woman up in Kittery, Maine. And so we had a rockabilly band that was like, the only way I can describe it is if ZZ Top went rockabilly. So it had heavy guitars with that kind of, you know, delay and almost like Elvis's first band. So you could say ZZ Top went rockabilly or Elvis had Marshall amps.
Perfect name is the Mustangs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And it was the horse and the car.
I was going to ask, was it the horse or the car?
Because there's pictures of me sitting on top of my 69 Mustang that we used as a promo. I don't have any Mustang stuff right now. Sometime I have to get it for you, though. It was great.
Perfect.
Stuff, yeah.
Now, finishing out the 80s, you had some interesting stuff going on with a band called The Real.
Yeah, The Real was a Boston band that when I came back to Boston eventually, when the Detroit area was kind of, once again, depressed, and there wasn't a lot of work and a lot of places were closing, I came back and I was managing a band called The Zone, and I produced their record. But George Belli was looking for a bass player, and he, you know, he was the singer and the songwriter of The Real. And we got together, and I happened to live in Waltham at the time, and he was living in Waltham, and we got together at his house, and we clicked. And so we started playing as The Real, and it was great. We got some great gigs. We opened for Jerry Lee Lewis at the Channel. We had a band that we've sort of re-put together that's playing tomorrow called Preservation.
Kinks.
And it's all Kinks music.
Yeah.
And we're going to be playing at Tavern at the End of the World tomorrow.
Yeah.
So y'all come down. It will be a fun time, I will tell you. The last time we were there, it was packed. So, but George and I still play also at some places up in Portsmouth. He's living in New Hampshire, and every once in a while I play as his. He has a band called George Belli and the Retroactivists. They do all British rock. And so sometimes their bass player is not available, and he'll just have me come in. I know all the tunes.
Yeah, very cool. So just to go back for The Real for a second, you had some interesting notes here. During the late 80s, life of that, you had guest appearances in gigs with James Montgomery, Buddy Miles, Chuck Berry, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
So,
Larry.
Yeah, well, the Jerry Lee Lewis was, we opened for Jerry Lee Lewis, And the, so James Montgomery, I had a roommate named Danny Morris who was playing with James Montgomery, and he went with James down to St. Croix. They were down there for like 2 weeks playing at a club down there. And I went down to run sound for them. Their guitar player, Larry Bader, ended up getting into a diving accident. It was his first time diving, and somebody took him down, and he ended up getting nitrogen narcosis. So the funny story is that Tom Major, who has a band called N-Train, but was the drummer from Pusset Dart Band, was in James's band at the time. And Tom and I went out, and we picked a bunch of mushrooms after it had rained one night, okay? So we're eating these mushrooms, and we are just blasted on this, you know, these psilocybin mushrooms. And James comes to me and Tom when we walk back to the hotel and says, looks at me and he says, "You're not running sound tonight." And I'm thinking, well, what happened? Did somebody complain? He goes, "No, you're playing guitar." And I looked at Tom and I just bust out laughing. And the two of us are laughing and he's looking at me going, "What are you laughing about?"
I totally thought you were going to go the other way.
Right.
Nothing. It'll be fine. And so he did a bunch of songs that I knew. He did mostly a bunch of like Little Richard and Chuck Berry and that kind of stuff. And so therefore,
typical chord progressions that you could deal with.
Yeah. And I knew some of his original tunes too. So, and he used to cover things like Brickyard Blues, you know, like Alan Toussaint songs.
Yeah.
And so I knew those. So I ended up finishing off the dates there, and it was great. I mean, we came back to Boston, and I would sit in with him every once in a while. Then I'm down at the Cantab playing in Central Square, Little Joe Cook's club, and I was like in the house band there playing bass.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, this huge black guy comes in, and he's on the phone. They have the pay phone. We had pay phones pay back phones. Then.
Mm, I'm aware.
And he turns around, and his jacket says Buddy Miles Express. And I was like, wow, Buddy Miles is here. Really cool. So we finished our set, and I wanted to go talk to him, but instead he comes up to the stage, and he says, I want to sit in. Leave the bass player. And that was it. He
nice.
Brought
it.
He brought it. Nice. Okay, now get this. He brought a young black drummer with him, who I can't even remember his name now, and he played guitar like Hendrix. He took the guitar player's Strat, flipped it upside down, played it left-handed, and you would swear that you were listening to Hendrix. And I didn't even know he played guitar.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he played several different instruments. He was most famous for drumming in, you know, the Band of Gypsies. But I'm thinking,
yeah, but
I'm like, what, 2 degrees of separation from Hendrix right now. I'm like standing on the stage, not believing that this is actually happening. And everybody ran to the phone, called their friends, and the place was packed.
What year was that? Was Hendrix still with us?
No.
So you know what? It might have been him. I'm just saying.
In his spirit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Right. And so I'm thinking, I am playing with the guy who played with Hendrix at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, so across town, Chuck at Harper's Ferry hears about it, and he just cancels the bands for the weekend and says, no, you guys are going to come over here and play.
Oh, fabulous.
We went over there and played, and it was very memorable. Memorable. Yeah.
Interesting band name here in the, as you get into the early 90s, Fate Macabre.
Oh, yeah, and you have the CD there. Fate Macabre was with a guy named McGregor McGee, and I had played on and off with McGregor. Yeah, I'll give you an even better name. I did gigs with him under our original rock stuff and rockabilly stuff, the Test Tube Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got that name because we saw a magazine, one of those Inquirer or Star things.
Yeah.
And it said, Test Tube Tigers, born in Nebraska.
And you said,
so we said
band name.
That's the name.
Yeah. There you go.
So, it was some great stuff, too. You know, I only had that on cassette, actually.
It's so funny. I look at the next band that's in the 90s. I always think the 90s is just like last year.
Right.
That's just what it feels like to me. The Ashcan Fools is another good one.
Yeah. Great. Theatrical band that started out as a duo. In fact, Eric Rumley and I played a show up at the famous La Mama Theater in New York. And then we were on this kind of variety show that this guy put together also. And Eric wrote a play pretty much about himself and his family called Borderline, you know, after like borderline personality. Exactly. And a lot of the songs involved his background, you know, and a lot of them involve like incredible abuse. Oh. And so the Ashcan Fools stuff is it's pretty rugged. And the first cut on the Ashcan Fools CD, which is called Romanian Countess, is just this, he's rambling and we're playing this blues thing in the background. It's genius that all of a sudden on the spot he made up, and he had difficulty eventually reproducing it because there was so much to it. And it was basically about a story that he's going home with this girl and, you know, he wants to sleep with her. And she says, you know, you can kiss me, but not really kiss me. And he says, well, what does that mean? And, you know, sort of just rambles on into this
all over this nice blues
exactly yeah, exactly yeah, yeah. And you know, I still use that music every once in a while when I go out and play at gigs with people that I'm playing with now.
So.
And that sort of gets us sort of close to where we are with LJ Delta and the Lonesome Wolves. We're going to play some. And I want to mention, because you mentioned your gig at the Tavern with Preservation, which is tomorrow.
Right.
And you also
at 5 p.m.
And you also got some stuff going on in Portsmouth on the 19th.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah. I'll be playing a free show where there's, you know, it's almost kind of like your live music day at WMWM or here.
Yeah.
But it's outdoors in a section of town that's called Vaughan Mall, and there's a little stage that they've made, and it's off Congress Street.
Oh, I know where that is.
And you know, it's kind of behind Friendly Toast.
Yeah.
And so every hour they're having a different performer starting at 1 o'clock, and Joel Glenn Wixon is running it, and he'll be first, and I'll be on at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So and then later on in the evening I'm opening at WSCA. There's a concert there. I'm opening for Pierce Pettis, who's a songwriter that was around here, but now he makes his home in Austin, Texas. And he's accompanied by David Webb, who's a great keyboard player.
Very cool. So I think what we should do is I want to give people an idea of what you sound like recorded.
Yeah.
I heard you at WMs. You mentioned their live day.
I'm going to be doing that again on the 26th.
Yeah, here. Yeah. Here.
Oh, is that... Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, don't tell me you would have gone to Salem State again, because that would have been bad.
I kept thinking I'm doing WMWN again. Oh, great.
I'm so glad I said that.
So this, really?
You'd be like, hello.
Okay, we'll change that on the listing.
Yeah. So I want to play...
Don't go to Salem. Come to Medford.
That's right. Come here. So I heard you play this track, Thor, that I want to start with.
Okay, great.
It's very entertaining for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Should we say anything about it or just spin
Well,
it?
Thor was my first cat, for all intents and purposes, that my wife, you know, had this little cat that when she saw the big dog that I had, Hank, who was like 115-pound white Alaskan Malamute crossed with wolf, and her cat just took off, wriggled out. She had the cat in a harness outside, gone forever. So we went down to the MSPCA, as I say, where they keep all them animals that nobody wants. And we got us a cat, a big cat, a 27-pound black and white cat with a head the size of a softball.
All right. Let's start off and play that track called Thor. I will play another one called The Way Life Should Be, also by LJ Delta. And then we'll do that track you wanted to do by Nikki and the Corvettes. And we'll come back after that. How's that sound?
All right.
All right. Stop
being
on the phone.
Well, we went down to that MSPCA there, that shelter where they keep all them animals that nobody wants. And we see this cat in there. He's a big cat. He's about 27 pounds. And they got a tag on him that says Fluffy. And we decided we're going to take him, but he wasn't Fluffy. We gave him his real cat name, and that was Thor.
Mouse.
you in my arms, safe and warm away from home. Dogs and cats and you and me, that's the way life should be. Woman I ever seen, hair of gray and eyes of green, in the woods and by the sea, that's the way life should be, that's the way life should be.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
WMFO in Medford. All right, played a couple of tracks that our guest Larry has something to do with, and Tom Ruprecht is still with us. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
What's going on?
Right on board, baby.
So we started off with that song I called called Colt Thor, about the huge cat. It's from a CD called Eat or Be Eaten, under the name the band name LJ Delta and the Lonesome Wolves. Another one by that band called The Way Life Should Be just after that. The Infidels on a 45 we played, Society's Casualty, or a nice rockin' tune there. And then Nikki and the Corvettes just finished up with Just What I Need after that. Larry, that was terrific stuff to play.
Takes me back.
Yeah, I bet.
Some memories and some nightmares.
Well, I'm sure better memories than nightmares. But oh, yeah. Then again, who knows? I don't know. So I can hear you strumming your guitar there.
You got the RE20 on?
Sure do.
All right.
Sure
cool.
do. So, beautiful. What do you want to play for us?
I'm going to play this song that I always play for my wife, who has put up with me for the past now 27 years. We just celebrated our 27th anniversary.
Congratulations to you and the missus.
So before, you know, I always perform it, and sometimes people know and sometimes they don't, but, you know, the first anniversary gift, traditionally, okay, is paper. So, you know, we weren't that well off when we got married, and I wrote this song all during the, you know, I worked on it during the year before our first anniversary, and I handed it to her.
Yeah.
And I played it for her.
Okay.
So on each anniversary after that, I play it for her. I've stopped trying to change the lyrics because it kind of like is hard to kind of get out 27 years today.
Yeah.
Rather than a year ago today.
What's the name of this track?
It's called The Anniversary Song, or A Year Ago Today.
Very good. Larry Newman live in WMFO's Studio A.
today, I married you. You were good today. We said we'd be true to the vows and the promises we made. I married you. You were good today. You became my wife year ago today. We started our new life with hopes of dreams to come true. Year ago today, I married you. Well, the days they passed, our love will last for many, many more. We laughed, we cried, we almost died. Together forevermore, together forevermore. Let's rock! With the vows that promises we made, I married you year ago today. Year ago today, I married you. Year ago today, we said we'd be true to the vows and the promises we made. I married you year ago today. You married me a year ago today. And you and I became we. A year ago today.
That's a beautiful thing to do. She's a lucky woman. That's really
you.
Nice.
That's really for my nice. Wife, Liz.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Awesome.
Let's do another one. We have time for another live one. What would you like to do, you think?
All right. I'll do... what's called the Blue Dog Blues, another song about an animal, but this one is I guess the only fictitious song that I've written, and I wrote it down in a cafe in Lafayette, Louisiana, probably about 15 years ago or maybe more, and there were paintings in this cafe by an artist named George Rodriguez, and they were all a blue dog.
Oh.
And you've probably seen them. I mean, he's licensed it for, like, you know, postcards and all kinds of stuff. There's a gallery down there in New Orleans that has all of his work, and it's blue dog, mostly blue dogs. But there was one painting in this gallery that had a blue dog and a red dog. All right, so I...
Okay.
Decided this was going to be the Blue Dog Blues because the red dog leaves the blue dog.
Okay, live in Studio A. Blue Dog Blues. It's Larry Newman.
Up this morning and my red dog went away. I woke up this morning and my red dog went away. I'm an old blue dog, got the blue dog blues today.
One and one is two. Two and two is four. One and one is two. Two and two is four. I'm an old blue dog, so sick, so sad, so sore.
I just love that that stuff.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Larry, for doing
Thanks
that.
A lot.
So believe it or not, you know, we've reached the five of the hour time.
Oh, my God.
So I want to squeeze in two more tracks from you. One that I really picked that I love that goes along great with that is A Ballad of Shaky Jake.
Oh, okay.
I want to do that. And then a request for you, which I think would be good. Fate Macabre, that band. Hillbilly Death Sounds is the record. I want to do Calling in Dead. So I want to end with those two.
All right, great.
And I want to thank you so much. Remind everybody where you're playing again in the upcoming days.
So tomorrow, Tavern at the End of the World on the Charlestown Somerville line.
There you go.
Okay. Preservation, our Kinks band. It'll be a history of the Kinks, basically. Come on down, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then next week, I'm playing two gigs in Portsmouth. One at Vaughn Mall at 2 o'clock, and then at WSCA-FM at 7 o'clock.
All right, absolutely. Everybody go down and check out Larry. He's as much fun in person as you hear him on the radio. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. We'll see you again in a couple weeks at our live day. Remember, Definitely. Don't go to Salem.
I'm glad that we had this discussion.
I know. Thank you, Tom, as always. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, man. This was awesome.
So let me end with those two songs, and then we'll talk to Sue about something about the women. I'm going to start with a Fate Macabre. I can't wait to hear this.
All right.
This is from Hillbilly Death Songs.
As one of the best fiddle players I have ever played with, and unfortunately, he died several years ago. Rich Dubois.
This one's called Calling in Dead. It's WMFO, Medford.
Tuesday morning blues. This time it's no use. I cannot go into work today. I know it's a sin, so I must call in. And this is what my supervisor say. He says, come in right away. You can't stay out today. You can work as long as you're alive. I think to myself quick, I can't just call in sick. So I tell my supervisor I have died. I'm calling in dead for the first time. I never have called in dead before. I've gone so far past tired, I have finally expired, and you won't have to see me anymore. The bills that come today, I don't have to pay. I've cast off all responsibility. It's peaceful in my room. It's quiet. play it as a tune. Now at last I am completely free. I'm calling him dead for the first time. I never have called him dead before. I've gone so far past tired, I've finally expired, and you won't have to see me anymore. So far past tired, I've finally expired, and you won't have to see me anymore. So come along with me, it's only destiny. We're born, we live a while, and then we die. How will we spend our time? It could be sublime. We can all be happy if we try. I'm calling him dead for the first time. I never have called him dead before. I've gone so far past tired, I've finally